For music and hymns, Lutheran Church of Our Savior's live stream and podcast are licensed by One License, number A-712421, CCLI, number 11113182, and number 206-76202, and Augsburg Fortress Liturgy's annual license number SAS-006434. All rights reserved, used with permission. Parts of this service are spoken and streamed from SundaysandSeasons.com. All rights reserved, used with permission under Augsburg Fortress Liturgy's annual license number SAS-006434.
Good evening and welcome as we gather for our Ash Wednesday service. My name is Chris Price. I'm the interim pastor here at the Lutheran Church of Our Savior. And I want to greet you as we gather and certainly welcome guests who are with us. Tonight's service is a solemn service. As we begin the period of Lent, it's a time for us of self-examination. So we focus on the confession of our sins and the promise of God's forgiveness. The imposition of ashes is offered for those who wish to receive them. It's a statement not only about our need for forgiveness, but also our mortality and the need for God who loves mortals. In news concerning our congregation, I would commend to you our treasurer, David Schumann, upon the death of his father this week. Also, on Sunday, I ask that you would remember the father of Babs Benson. I can report to you that his cardiac procedure went well today, and he's on his way, should be home right now, so we rejoice in that. During the service tonight, especially during the confession of sin, you will probably note that I will pause briefly before concluding things, and that's an attempt to give you an opportunity to reflect on the words we have shared and what they would mean for you. Let us now use some moments of silence to prepare ourselves for the worship of God tonight. Thank you. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, you hate nothing you have made, and you forgive the sins of all who are penitent. Create in us new and honest hearts, so that truly repenting of our sins, we may receive from you, the God of all mercy, full pardon and forgiveness. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
A reading from the prophet Joel. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sound the alarm on my holy mountain, that all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is near, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness, like blackness spread upon the mountains. A great and powerful army comes, their like has never been from of old, nor will be again after them in ages to come. Yet even now, says the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. Rend your hearts and not your clothing. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and relents from punishing. Who knows whether he will not turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the aged, gather the children, even infants at the breast. Let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride her canopy. Between the vestibule and the altar, let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep. Let them say, spare your people, O Lord, and do not make your heritage a mockery, a byword among the nations. Why should it be said among the peoples, where is their God? The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We will read the psalm responsibly. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love.
Your great compassion blot out my offenses.
Wash me through and through from my wickedness.
Cleanse me from my sin.
For I know my offenses.
And my sin is ever before me.
Against you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight.
So you are justified when you speak and right in your judgment.
Indeed, I was born steeped in wickedness.
A sinner from my mother's womb.
Indeed, you delight in truth deep within me.
And would have known wisdom deep within me.
Remove my sins with hyssop, and I shall be clean.
Wash me, and I shall be purer than snow.
Let me hear joy and gladness.
Let the body you have broken may rejoice.
Hide your face from my sins.
And blot out all of my wickedness.
Create in me a clean heart, O God.
And renew my spirit within me.
Cast me not away from your presence.
Take not your Holy Spirit from me.
Restore to me the joy of your salvation.
And sustain me in your bountiful spirit.
Let me teach your ways to offenders.
And sinners shall be restored to you.
Rescue me from bloodshed, O God of my salvation.
And my tongue shall sing of your righteousness.
O Lord, open my lips.
And my mouth shall proclaim your praise.
For you take no delight in sacrifice, or I would give it.
You are not pleased with burnt offerings.
The sacrifice of God is a troubled spirit.
A troubled and broken heart, O God, you will not despise.
Please stand for the reading of the Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 6th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the disciples, "Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So whenever you give alms, do not sound the trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be praised by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so as to show others that they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they've received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that your fasting may be seen not by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume, and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Well, I guess it should not surprise us that a society of consumers can find itself drawn to consumerist spirituality. What do I get out of this church? What does this worship experience do for me? Will this congregation serve the needs of people like me? These are, in fact, questions that can help persons critically evaluate their relationships in the body of Christ. And believe it or not, I have been a proponent of what's called church shopping. I think it's basically a good idea for people to try out several congregations in order to find the best fit for their spiritual needs and for their spiritual gifts. But there is a danger when seeker spirituality becomes consumerist spirituality. For in ever so subtle ways, the focus shifts from God's will to our satisfaction, from God's grace to my gain, from worshiping the God of holiness to idolizing our specialness. About 2,000 years ago, Jesus exposed a version of consumerist spirituality and warned against it because it was turning people into hypocrites, people who are not authentic or genuine in their faith life. Hypocrites are described by Jesus as those who perform all their religious disciplines, but for ulterior and self-serving ends. What am I going to get out of this service? When this is the main motive, people seeking God can turn into hypocrites who are only faking it while they use the things of God to serve only themselves. Matthew's Gospel records three examples that Jesus specifically mentioned as he observed the faith life of those around him. Two of them relate to practices that are still somewhat common to our faith practice, offering contributions and offering prayers. And the third, although not as common in today's faith life, is still quite popular in our personal lives, dieting or fasting, going without much food. And what has Jesus observed? Well, he sees that there are people who give offerings, not because they want to give, but because they really want to get. They give alms for the ways their contributions will prove rewarding for their own reputation and will enrich their feeling good about themselves as compared to others. Yes, the hands are giving, but the eyes are set on getting. Then Jesus sees others who are praying not to plead a cause before God, but to advertise their pedigree before others. It's no longer a matter of what they pray for God to do for other people. It's a matter of what prayer might do for them in the eyes of other people. Yes, the mouth is full of prayer, but the heart is full of vanity. And then Jesus sees others who are dieting and fasting, not to hunger for the ways of God, but to fatten their chances of being admired by others. Rather than aching over how many are literally starving for the mercy and grace of God, they are all hepped up on how fasting might expand their sense of being known as spiritual. Yes, their appearance is leaner, but their self-centeredness is gluttonous. What will this faith practice do for me? Jesus warns us about what happens when a spirituality of seeking God becomes a spirituality of idolizing oneself. The result is hypocrites who are no longer genuine and authentic with their faith, but self-serving and vainly perverse. Now, many people champion the way Jesus exposes the religious hypocrites and hypocrisy, but then they use Jesus' criticisms as an excuse for them not to be religious at all. Jesus does criticize the way hypocrites practice their religion, but notice that he still very much commands of us religious practices and disciplines. We live in a world that is shying away from traditional religious practices and faith disciplines, a world that assumes personal faith and spiritual growth will just somehow happen. And so for our world, one does not have to be too serious about a faith discipline or a spiritual practice. Jesus criticizes hypocritical practices, to be sure, but he still directs us to practice faith disciplines of giving offerings, praying, and fasting, but in a very different way. The type of spiritual life that Jesus seems to commend is one whose faith discipline is by and large secret, hidden from the world, and unknown to others, except to the one who sees all in secret. And the result is that these persons of God are going to appear rather ordinary and indistinguishable from the hoi polloi of even worldly folk. They're going to be more like God's secret agents. Now, a lot of people like this idea because they like the notion of not having to be religious. But again, this is not what Jesus intends. the truly righteous are very religious in practicing their faith with almsgiving, prayer, and fasting. And yet they do not do these things to be seen by others, because they know they're always being seen and judged and held accountable by the one who is vastly more important than anyone else, and who is God, sees things as they really are. Truly special in their spiritual life, yet by and large indistinguishable from regular folk. Truly authentic and genuine in their faith practice, yet seemingly ordinary in manner and appearance. What kind of saints would these be? Watermarks. A watermark is a special figure or design that has been imprinted on the still watery pulp mixture that's in the last stage of becoming paper. Watermarks attest to the authenticity of a paper manufacturer's product and the genuineness of its quality. But watermarks are hardly noticeable until the paper is held up to the light. 19th century stamps in England and America bore barely noticeable watermarks that would nevertheless distinguish them from counterfeits. Watermarks designate authenticity, indicate genuineness, and attest to value, while being all but unnoticeable until held up to the light. Watermarks. In the waters of baptism, God leaves, by the word of the Lord and the seal of the Spirit, watermarks on those who belong to Christ. These are marks that distinguish us as the people of God, marks that attest to our authenticity as followers of Christ, marks that indicate the genuineness of our faith practice, and yet marks that can hardly be noticeable until we are held up to the light. In each of our coming Wednesday updates, during the next 5 weeks of Lent, I'll be asking you to explore five watermarks or distinguishing characteristics of Christian faith. The first, learning God's Word. Are we just going to go along with a biblically illiterate culture? Or should we not have a discipline of learning and exploring the Word of God that is life for us? Our congregation's faith, family, and fellowship sessions, personal devotional booklets, a Bible study group, a kitchen table discussion of the sermon. The chambers can be very different, but the Word of God is the same lifeblood at the heart of the church. Two, prayer. More and more who came to my confirmation classes could not recite the Lord's Prayer. And more than we would like seemed to live in families with no common prayer life. Three, faith conversations. In so many of the personal remembrances that loved ones offer during a funeral, people will mention everything else about their loved one's life, but not his or her faith and what it meant to their loved one. Could this be because we are not talking to our loved ones about our faith and what it means to us? Four, sharing the community of the church. One of the worrisome effects of the COVID pandemic is how it affected in-person gatherings of the faithful. Live streaming, Zoom, and other technologies have sure helped us maintain contact, but they can be poor substitutes for the real community of the church. How do we maintain the person-to-person mutual consolation of the brethren as a means of grace? And five, acts of service. Nothing helps us battle the temptation of self-centeredness in consumer spirituality like service to others. It's not about me. It's about God's love through me to others. Our hope is that as we hold ourselves up to the light of Christ, we will be better able to see those practices which make us authentic in Christian faith and genuine in Christian life. Watermarks. Sheets of paper exist to eventually bear a message. Paper of quality and value is usually used for messages that are meant to be important or special. As I prepare funeral sermons, I am so often aware that our lives carry messages. On the sheets of our life, there is a message about what has been important, special, and even holy to us. On the sheet of your life, there will be a faith message that others will read, and our lives will be held up to the light to see which is authentic and which is counterfeit. God uses the baptismal watermarks we've mentioned to stamp your lives with authentic witness to the call of Christ, genuine service to the love of God, and special trust in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Watermarks. You have been sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever. At first glance, ordinary like the rest, but held up to the light, real quality. Let us take some moments of silence to prepare for our confession to God. You may kneel or remain seated. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most holy and merciful God, we confess to you and to one another and before the whole company of heaven that we have sinned by our fault, by our own fault, by our most grievous fault, in thought, word, and deed,
by what we have done, and by what we have left undone.
We have not loved you with our whole heart and mind and strength. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We have not forgiven others as we have been forgiven.
Have mercy on us, O God.
We have shut our ears to your call to serve as Christ served us. We have not been true to the mind of Christ. We have grieved your Holy Spirit.
Have mercy on us, O God.
Our past unfaithfulness, the pride, envy, hypocrisy, and apathy that have infected our lives. We confess to you.
Have mercy on us, O God.
Our self-indulgent appetites and ways, and our exploitation of other people. We confess to you.
Have mercy on us, O God.
Our negligence in prayer and worship, and our failure to share the faith that is in us. We confess to you.
Have mercy on us, O God.
Our neglect of human need and suffering, and our indifference to injustice and cruelty. We confess to you.
Have mercy on us, O God.
Our false judgments, our uncharitable thoughts toward our neighbors, and our prejudice and contempt toward those who differ from us. We confess to you.
Have mercy on us, O God.
Our waste and pollution of your creation, and our lack of concern for those who come after us. We confess to you.
Have mercy on us, O God.
Restore us, O God, and let your anger depart from us.
Hear us, O God, for your mercy is great.
Those who wish to receive the imposition of ashes may now come forward by the center aisle and return to proceed by the side. Remember that you are dust, unto dust you shall return. Remember that you are dust, unto dust you shall return. Remember that you are dust, unto dust you shall return. Remember that you are dust, unto dust you shall return. To dust you shall return. Remember that you are dust, to dust you shall return. Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Remember that you are dust, to dust you shall return. Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Remember that Accomplish in us, O God, the work of your salvation.
Show forth your glory in the world.
By the cross and passion of your Son, our Savior.
Bring us, among all your saints, to the joy of his resurrection.
Almighty God, have mercy on us. Forgive us all our sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life.
Amen.
Returning to the Lord our God, we offer these prayers for the church, the world, and all who are in need. Renew your church, O God, when we have drifted from your call to repentance and justice.
Lead us back to you.
Encourage believers whose consciences are troubled to hold fast to your promises of forgiveness.
And to follow you in renewed obedience.
Renew your creation, O God. Transform parched places into watered gardens.
And preserve every creature that awaits the arrival of spring.
Turn us from practices of environmental exploitation so that
we become responsible stewards of all you have made.
Renew the nations, O God, especially Ukraine. Teach those in authority to advocate for the liberation of all who are oppressed.
And grant them courage to make difficult decisions.
Renew our lives, O God. Spare your people from diseases of the body, mind, or spirit and send healing to those overcome by illness or grief. We lift our voices to pray especially for Liam, Steve, Beth, Albert, the Young and Schisler families, Bill, Terry, the Reynolds and Kepler families, Jerry, Jamie, Bertie, Richmond, Judy, Jean, Nancy, Mitch, Nancy, Carl, Quinton, Maria, Marge, and Victor, and for all those whom we keep on our minds and in our hearts. David and Shulman.
John and Jonah.
Restore to us the joy of your salvation. Renew this congregation, O God, during these 40 days of Lent.
Confirm our sense of mission and expand our imagination for ministry.
Deepen our faith, increase our love,
and draw us into your unfolding work of healing and restoration.
Gathered into one by your Holy Spirit, we pray as Jesus taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Merciful God, accompany our journey through these 40 days.
Renew us in the gift of baptism, that we may provide for those who are poor, pray for those in need, fast from self-indulgence, and above all, that we may find our treasure in the life of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you, now and forever.
Amen.
Go forth into the world to serve God with gladness. Be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Honor all people. Love and serve God, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit.
Thanks be to God.
Go in peace.